Well, hiya, church. We're going to continue our walk through the series of Hebrews right now, and we're going to read from 5:11 to the end. It says this: "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." And so we're going to call this talk today the call to maturity. And last week we looked at, through Duncan, the beginnings of the book of Hebrews, where we looked at the centrality of Christ, who is before all things and preeminent over all. But now, because Christ lives in us, he is our Saviour, he is our Lord, we are now called to live a different life. We are called to live a mature life in God. But verse 13 says that there's a problem. There was a problem with God's people at the time. He said that they're unskilled in the work of righteousness. And that word unskilled there simply means that they have no skill, no experience of doing anything. And so the answer is simply to read the Bible. You know, get to know the God of the Bible, get to know what he is like, because that is what we're supposed to be like what he likes, do what he likes us doing, and don't do the things he doesn't want us doing. That's as simple as it gets. And I look back at my past, and I read the Bible a few times, and then I listened to a tape by R.T. Kendall. And then he spoke about the infallibility of the Bible and the inerrancy of the Bible, which basically means that it's without error in all that it says. And it transformed my life. I realized from then that this is where I go to. This is my rock. I live out of this. If it says I do it, I'll do it. If it says I don't, I won't. And I listened to the tape a couple of times and started to read through the Bible once a year. And I've done that for about the last 25 years now, just constantly reading through. Now, I'll be honest with you and tell you that I don't always feel like doing it. Some days I don't, but other days I'm just so hungry for it. And I'm going through a season where I'm absolutely hungry and for more of the word, and the Bible just comes alive to me. But whatever season you're in, where it's not so easy to read, or it's one of them, oh man, give me some more word. You know, we just keep reading and get it in you, get it in your body, get it in your bones, and live out of that. So I'd ask you right at the start the question. It's like, how are you in the Bible getting on? Are you going to the Bible hungry, expectant that actually you're not just reading something, but the God of the Bible will be speaking to you? Encourage you to do that, especially in this time of lockdown. But you see, on its own, it doesn't make you mature. And verse 14 tells us that the mature are those who by constant use and practice what it says. And so we get mature by carrying out what it says, constantly living what the Bible calls us to do. What we see in Jesus is what we should be doing. And so we're putting our knowledge into practice. D.L. Moody, love the guy, said this, that the Bible was not given to us to increase our learning, but it was to increase and change our lives. Not just for our knowledge, but to change lives. Problem is with that changing our life really isn't easy, especially if we come to Christ later in our lives, like me, but any change, especially if someone else asks you, is difficult, which is why it's so important for us to go to our groups every week, to our little midweek groups where we get discipled, where we get encouraged, where we learn application, we learn the Bible, and how does that apply to my life? It's so important. And when someone keeps you accountable for that, it's just a great thing. And so all of us are on that journey, and Christ will join with us wherever we are in that journey. And I remember my early days when I first came to Christ, I kind of worked through a list and gave up a lot of the things that I really shouldn't have been doing. But one thing I didn't give up was fighting. Now, fighting had always got me through and looked after me when I was living, you know, the street kind of life. And so 2 years it took into Christianity before I actually turned around to God and said, God, you know what? I'm fed up with this fighting life now. I'm going to give it to you. You can have that as well. And I kind of meant it in my heart, and I didn't know whether I'd actually be able to do it or not. And I pulled up on site one day, and the site governor came over to me. Trevor was his name. And for no reason at all, just after I said to God, "I'm, you know, no more fighting, it's all yours," he got his dirty, thick, dirty hands and wiped them over my white shirt. And honestly, I could have so easily stuck an headbutt on him. I mean, he was right there. And inside, it was that instinct, it's like, I don't do it. And I walked away. And you know, my immediate reaction was to feel a real worm. You back down in that. But I got in the car, I sat there, and I said, God, that's what I said I would do. And do you know what? It was like heaven opened, and the presence of God came upon me. And it was like, I just knew how pleased God was that I'd passed that test and I'd got through that. And what I realized is that for them 2 years, I was actually fighting what God wanted in my life. He wanted a better life for me than that. And the question is to you on that, is like, are you fighting areas of your life where God is wanting to transform you, wanting to change you for the better? Because when you do, the power of God will come into another area of your heart and just empower you for further growth and all that God wants you to be in this life. Stop fighting God would be my answer. Where are you fighting God? We all do it. Soon as we give up, submit to him. We're so pleased we did. And he was so pleased when I did that. It was like just the power of God. And I pray right now, wherever you're struggling, power of God, will you come and give that grace, power, Lord, that we can overcome and get through that, whatever it is. Each of us is in our own walk, struggling in our own way. Spirit of God, come. And I release that anointing of freedom on your life right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, see, Jesus. You see, the thing is this, that each of us has been given a certain amount of days here on earth. And one thing this virus has taught us is that to treasure and be thankful for every day that we do live. So many are dying out there. We need to treasure our days and make the most of our time. And mature people learn to use their time well. And over the years, I've matured a little bit, I guess, and I've just learned that I can't do everything. And there are some things that have got to go. As I look at my life constantly, honestly, every week, you have to look and say, okay, this is my new normal. What needs to go? What do I need to do? And do a few things, but do them well. And you know what that does? That maximizes our time on earth and our effectiveness here on earth. Let's choose what is best in life for us and ditch the things that need to go. Because the reality is that God has put you here for a reason. He's put me here for a reason. We're on a mission that God wants each of us to fulfill. And so mature people, they clear out the clutter, they get rid of the things that don't really need to be done. And what they do, as we mature, as you mature, you start to work out what are the gifts that God has placed in your heart? What are the talents that He's given you? And they're so varied. What are you really passionate about? And it's such a need in the church today that we find that out. Do a spiritual gift test. Find out what He's created you for, and then give your life to that. Live your life on the mission that God has given you, not what He's given someone else that you think, oh, maybe great if I have that. No, He's given you a mission just for you. And it's an amazing thing when you find that, it's like, I'm alive. When you don't find that and you fumble about, it's like, it's always inside. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Focus on that, go for it, and give your life to what He's given you. And so ask yourself to find that out. Declutter your life, get rid of what needs to go, so that God can do His best for you in your life. And then verse 11 says here that the problem is that the people of God at the time this was written were dull of hearing, both in chapter 3:18 and 4:7. It says this: look, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And so we can harden our hearts. And he was actually quoting there from a psalm back there where Israel were disappointing God, and God is just calling them back. He said, come back to me. Stop hardening your hearts. Hear my voice and do what I'm asking you to do. And to be honest with you, it's still the same today. You know, when he said there today, if you hear his voice, it's still the same right now. If you hear his voice today, calling you, respond to that call, correcting you, commanding you, then today is the day. Here and now is the time that we respond to that and do what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do. Don't put it off. Don't harden your heart and say, yeah, another day, God, speak to the hand, or I'll do it at a later date. If he's asking you to, this is honestly where the fun is. It really is. When we step out with something God has said, the power's with it, the resources are with it, and we're going to have an adventure with him. And that's what I want for all of us. And so changing isn't easy, as I said before. Have you ever tried to change something in your life by yourself? You know, it just doesn't work, does it? It doesn't. You know, I've chose to give up drinking or smoking, or I choose not to be angry anymore or greedy anymore or lustful anymore, any of that. It's so hard. You can't do it by yourself. But here's the key. The key is not to focus on your behavior. That's not where our focus is. To become mature, what we do is we focus not on what we do, but who we are, who God has created you to be. What is this new identity that Paul speaks about in the New Testament? You see, we are to live out of that new identity. Colossians 3:9 says that, put off the old self and put on the new. And so you are not who you used to be. Stop acting like the old person. You are a new creation. The old has been crucified with Christ, and now Christ lives in me. This Christ, this preeminent Christ that Duncan spoke about earlier, has renewed us by the Holy Spirit. You are now accepted by God for who you are, forgiven. You've become his son and daughter. And this is where our mind must be. Think about what is good. Think about what is holy. You've been adopted into his family, and you are heirs to all that God owns. And God is so pleased with you and wants the best with you. One of my favorite verses is Lamentations 3:22, that when we wake up in the morning, his love for us is new every morning. And so we're so thankful. I'm already forgiven. Christ died on the cross to forgive me of all my sins, and he will forgive yours too if you come to him. And because we are forgiven, because he's given us everything, out of love, not duty or because we've got to. Out of love for him, we do what we need to do and enjoy just walking with God in this life. Not because we've got to, because we're so thankful for what Jesus has done. And then we start to live that life, we're maturing. And verse 14 says that we are able to discern. And who knows that discernment is not natural. Discernment is a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in us. It's the inner life of the Christian coming alive in Christ, this river of life that God promised us starting to flow from within. And so today, if you hear the Holy Spirit speak, do not harden your hearts as in the days of Meribah, that it says, that the book of Hebrews there is quoting. Don't harden your hearts. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God with us. He is here today. He's the God of now. That's why it says today. Today is now. When he speaks to you, it's now. It's God who's speaking to you now by his Holy Spirit. That's why we should respond to him. Galatians 5:16 says this. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with him. Walk by the Spirit, he says. So we are to cultivate in our life as mature Christians this relationship with him, where we speak to him as a person. He's there personally for you, alongside you, your comforter. We listen to him. We ask him what he wants us to do in life. What is the next step for me? We develop a fellowship with him and become sensitive to him and develop that intimate relationship with him now with us, and be in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's how we live. We get up like it, pray to God, we're in tune with the Spirit, and we walk through our days like that and start to discern what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. So personally, in the church, when we're in our groups, we need to give room for what the Holy Spirit is doing. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says this, that whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Guys, this is the supernatural life that we should be living. And it says there, all for the building up. We never tear people down, it's for building them up. And so we develop a heart attitude that the Holy Spirit, God is in me. God is in me, and he wants to do something in and through me today, right now. And so our heart cries out, I've got to heal someone today. I've got to prophesy over someone today. I've got to pray for somebody today. I've got to give someone a word of knowledge today. Guys, church, it's time to let go of the baby stuff, that passage says. Come out of sin and start getting involved. Be who God created you to be, a supernatural son and daughter of the God Most High, with his power working in and through you. You see, his plan for us is this, that we go out and we heal the sick. We heal the sick, we command, we tell them that the kingdom of God has come. And so to be mature is to unleash the power of God, first of all in your life, to overcome all that sinful stuff. And secondly, to unleash it into every situation that you come across. And to go for it, guys. Have fun. That's what faith is all about. Step out when you know God. You know his ways. You know the kind of things he would want you to do. Care for the sick. When you see someone who's ill, go and pray for them. Prophesy over people to show them who God really is. Have a fun time. Even over Zoom, we can do it. I prayed with some leaders the other day, some top leaders, and I said to one of them, I just prophesied over Zoom, and I said, you've got a really difficult situation that you're dealing with right now. You don't know what to do. And God says, I don't want you to do anything. Just leave it as it is pray about it, and I'm going to come in and sort it out. And so I gave that to the, to this guy, a church leader. 2 days later, he texted me. He said, Clive, I can't believe it. He said, you would not believe, he said, how difficult that situation was. He said, but God stepped in and he did something in the most amazing way and resolved the issue. And the issue was with a top politician and the local imam of a Muslim church. And it got sorted out. And he waited because I prayed for him. And just to see things like that, you think, wow, I could be part of that. We have people healed over Zoom. And guys, we're going for a thing this week, a miracle night. We're just for an hour, we're going to pray for people. And I know people are going to get healed. I just challenge you to go for it. This is the life that we should be living. And so I'm just going to pray now to finish with. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, raise your hands if you would like to receive that. Lord, come in power by the Holy Spirit. Lord, come upon us, God. And just as I'm preaching this, I just sense that God has shown me the inner workings of people's hearts. It's what he wants to do a work on today. And this is it, is that some here, you've got a little bit of anger come into your heart. You're not an angry person. It's not like a demon you've got to get out of there. It's not that. What it is, you've just allowed anger to come in. Maybe through this lockdown, you're living closer with someone or the family, and it just irritations have got in. And God just wants to remove that from you today. There are others where anxieties have risen up about the future, about money. And there are others where depression has somehow got in at this time. And Lord, I pray against this stuff. I pray, Lord, let your love, let your power, Holy Spirit, I believe this is what you want to do with us today. So Lord, come in power, Holy Spirit, come. And as we break out into our groups, I pray for each other. Go for it, guys. Let it rise up in you. No, I've got to pray for someone today. I've got to see someone healed today. I want to prophesy over someone. I've got to give somebody a word of knowledge. Let us go for it in our groups and be mature. Leave the sin behind and have fun with all that God has created you to be. And everyone in the house said, amen. Let's give the Lord a clap. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord.